We have some very dramatic readings today for our solemnity. From our first reading from the prophet Daniel, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven, who received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. From our psalm, the Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. From our second reading in the book of Revelation, it says, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And when we hear this, when we contemplate Christ's glory and power and majesty, we should rejoice. We should rejoice and glory in our King being supreme, being acknowledged by all. It should fill us with pride and joy and longing to see this fulfilled completely. And yet, sometimes we can shy away from this. We can think that this kind of imagery and thinking is too powerful, too bombastic, too authoritarian. We can be overly concerned with being polite and non-threatening. Even the name of our celebration today, the Solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, I think there are some Catholics who might be a little bit uncomfortable with that name. King of the Universe, really? Isn't that a bit much? You know, they might wonder why we can't just celebrate Jesus the Teacher, or Jesus the Good Shepherd, or maybe at the most Jesus the King of Love. But Jesus, a real king with total power, a king of glory and majesty, a king over all people and all creation, the whole cosmos, this can make people nervous. It could seem intolerant or threatening. But though God is all-powerful, he is not arbitrary. Jesus is not some kind of strongman, authoritarian king. He's not a because-I-said-so king. God's nature is the very source of reason, of intelligence and intelligibility. He is not an arbitrary God. Jesus rules with truth. He rules always in accord with the truth, with what is true. As he says in our gospel today, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Jesus rules with love also. Because after all, the place where Jesus was glorified most fully on earth was the cross. For that was where the depths of his love were revealed most fully. He sacrificed himself for us, the Lamb of God, slain to take away the sins of the world. This is why Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. But this is crucial. If his kingdom is never of this world, if this world is never brought into the kingdom, or if the kingdom never conquers this world, one can ask, what good is it? If all those who, like Jesus, witness to the truth are always only defeated by the powerful, if those who speak truth to power always just die for it, what good is it? If Jesus only sacrifices himself and dies and never actually returns in glory triumphant, what good is it? Jesus must be not only the Lamb, meek and gentle, he must also be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, powerful, triumphant, and glorious. If our God is ultimately defeated, then there's no point in following him. If he does not succeed eventually at ending evil and establishing justice, then what is the point? We want Jesus to be intolerant, intolerant of injustice. We want Jesus to threaten evil and indeed to conquer evil. The reason that we are able to turn the other cheek and forgive when someone has done a grave injustice is because we have faith that ultimately God is the judge and that he will restore justice on the last day. If you think about it, even some of Jesus' most gentle, non-threatening teaching, some of the Beatitudes, only make sense if Jesus, in fact, is the King of the universe. Look at the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Well, the only way the meek will inherit the land is if Jesus, the conqueror of the world, gives it to them. Without this, ultimately, the meek are not blessed. If there is no next life, or if the next life is not radically different than this one, radically more ordered in justice, if in the next life the wicked and powerful are still free to oppress the poor and the meek, if those who sorrow and those who long for justice will be sorrowing and longing forever, if Jesus does not definitively and powerfully triumph over evil and have total dominion to establish true justice in the universe, then in what meaningful way are the poor blessed? Jesus Christ being the King of the universe means that the poor will indeed inherit the kingdom. Jesus being the King of the universe means that what is good and true and beautiful will not always be mocked and scorned and destroyed. The truth will be vindicated. The good will be protected and enshrined in strength. The beautiful will be acknowledged by all. And those who trust in Jesus will be saved and glorified. And this is something that we should glory in. You know, Jesus being the King of the universe means that we know how the story of this world ends. It's a story with many dark chapters, to be sure. Evil and chaos and suffering in the world. Evil in the government, evil in the church, evil in our own hearts. And the wicked seem to thrive and to get away with oppressing the just and the poor. But we know how the story ends. And this gives us hope and joy, even in the midst of the darkness of this world, because we know that the story ends with Jesus Christ absolutely sovereign, establishing perfect justice and gloriously reigning over all the universe as King. This should be something that we rejoice at. You know, as we sang in the Gloria, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High. As we sing that, our hearts should well up with praise and love. We should rejoice and glory in the majesty of God, his uncontested kingship. And we should have a deep desire that all people would acknowledge Jesus as Lord. When we sing in the Sanctus, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, we should rejoice in his infinite power. In Hebrew, Lord God of hosts is Lord God of armies, more literally. We should rejoice in the infinite power of God. When we listen to the Eucharistic prayer speaking about the glorious majesty of God, we should have a sense of reverence before him. We won't have these feelings all the time, of course, but we should have them sometimes, and we should desire them, for they're the correct response to the immensity of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us glory in Jesus Christ, our King. Let's rejoice in his power and celebrate his triumphant love. Let's exult in his glory and majesty. Today is a day to celebrate. If you want something special to do today, to celebrate, a great hymn for today is Crown Him with Many Crowns. And normally when you sing it, you sing about maybe two or three verses. There's five verses in the hymnal, but actually in the original, there's 12 verses. And every single one of them is dynamite. If you want something to do to celebrate Christ the King, go on Wikipedia, you know, Google Crown Him with Many Crowns, Wikipedia, they've got the full verses up there, and just read through that and meditate on it. It's beautiful poetry, and it's very profound meditations on Jesus Christ, our King, and all that he did to save us. However you celebrate, celebrate big today. Celebrate big this evening. Let us rejoice and glory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and King.